sentence. He cringed. Ah, how lovely. Our own undead butler. I giggled and brushed my hands off on a kitchen towel. Who could be here? It's almost 11. Adam shrugged and dove in for another bite of peanut butter. I pointed a finger at him. Save room for dinner. I'm not eating all this spaghetti by myself.
You're really worried about me not having an appetite?
Right. I laughed and gave him a playful roll of my eyes. I'll go see what's up. It might be Cass. We kind of had a thing earlier.
Drama, drama, Adam called after me. Play nice, gorgeous.
I pushed out of the kitchen and headed to the front door. Lacey was standing there, all dressed up for her pageant practice, her hair in long blonde curls, her makeup glammed out to perfection, and a long ocean blue gown setting off nicely against her pale skin. And she was grinning at Nick. Oh, my stars. Nick and Lacey hadn't had the opportunity to meet. I tried to keep humans away from the manor in general, but especially at night when Lacey would be awake and roaming. She was hard to explain. I usually fibbed and said she worked swing shift, but that would be a hard lie to pass off with her dressed like prom night Barbie. Nick? What are you doing here? Lacey snapped her cold eyes to mine, as though I was interrupting her moment, even though she'd been the one to holler for me moments before.
He said it's urgent he speak to you.
Something about the way she said it made it clear she'd tried to flirt with him, and had only called me when she realized she was ramming into a brick wall. Not that Lacey couldn't get her hands on a guy like Nick. She definitely could, especially if she used a flicker of glamour to seal the deal. Nick looked from Lacey to me and offered a small smile.
I know, it's late, but I'm on my way to Jess's and wanted to see if you could come with me.
Why are you going to see Jess?
She called me about 10 minutes ago. She was...
Lacey sighed and then pushed between us.
Excuse me, I have an appointment.
Nick flashed me a quizzical glance, but I waved it off. Ignore her. What did Jess call about? Is she all right? He shook his head.
No, she was completely freaked out. She was working tonight, but was starting to feel sick, so Lou let her go home early. When she got there, her house was ransacked, and she heard someone crash out the back door before she could get a look at them.
Oh, my stars. Did she call the police?
No. See, that's the thing. She called me first and said there's something she needs to tell me. About her and Katerina. She insisted that I didn't call the authorities.
My stomach churned. This couldn't be good. I glanced up at the ceiling, halfway wondering if I should have Katerina come along too. Neither Nick nor Jess would be able to see her, and it might help jog her memory. But I decided against it. I had no idea what Jess was about to divulge. It might be more than Katerina could handle. Let me grab my sweater, I said, turning to go down the hall to my room. The kitchen door swung open.
Ollie, you coming? Tell Cass we have enough for her to join in.
I froze in place and squeezed my eyes shut at the sound of Adam's voice. Batwings.
Nick, what are you doing here? He asked.
I pivoted on my heel and saw the two men squaring off. Well, technically only Adam was squared off. Nick was still in neutral, hands in the pockets of his dark jeans and an unconcerned expression on his face. Adam, Nick got a call from a girl that Katerina used to work with. She needs to give us some information.
Us?
He repeated. Wrong word choice there. Good job, Holly. I just mean that she knows Nick and me from the night we went to visit her and ask about Katerina's disappearance. Adam didn't look angry. But I knew he wasn't happy all the same. His jaw was slightly tensed, and his hands looked stiff and awkward at his sides, like he was forcing himself to keep from reacting.
So I guess that means dinner for one?
My heart twisted in my chest as I glanced between Nick and Adam. I didn't want to disappoint Adam, but I needed to know what Jess had to say. Nick could relay the information to me tomorrow, but no. I wanted to hear it for myself. I wanted to see her face and hear the sound of her voice. I won't be long, I said, hoping it wasn't an empty promise. Adam nodded.
I'll keep some warm for you then. Thanks, Adam. I scurried down the hall to my room, wishing I could outpace the ache in my chest. Nick and I didn't speak until we pulled into the short asphalt driveway that pulled around to the side of Jess's house. After Nick killed the engine, he turned toward me.
Holly, I'm really sorry if I messed up your night. It's just that Jess asked if we could both come. I figure she didn't want to invite a strange man over after what happened to her.
I pasted on my best smile. It's fine. His eyes lingered for another moment, as though there was something he wanted to add. But if there was, he quickly decided against it and pushed out of the driver's side. The house was quaint, probably no more than 2 bedrooms, and it appeared that every light available had been switched on. A whoosh of pity tore through me. Poor Jess. She must be scared out of her mind. But why had she wanted Nick and me instead of the police? What was so terrible she couldn't tell the cops? It didn't make sense. Nick led the way, and I kept a half step behind. He knocked on the door.
It's Nick and Holly.
I craned around, taking in a panoramic view of the quiet neighborhood. The other houses were dark, the occupants sleeping, with only their porch lights on to illuminate the shapes. A stray cat crossed the road, not bothering to look both ways, and I realized it must be a quiet neighborhood during the day as well, given his nonchalant manner. The front door creaked open, and I turned back around just as Jess came to the door, her eyes bloodshot and red. She'd been crying. Her hair was tangled and fell limp around her narrow shoulders, as though she'd been tearing her hands through it as she went from room to room, surveying the destruction. Jess, are you okay? I ventured, knowing that there was no way she could be. It just seemed like the right thing to ask. Or maybe the only thing. She gulped and pushed open the screen door.
Come in. I'll explain.
Nick stepped inside, and I followed, and Jess shut and bolted the door as soon as we were in. As she crossed back through, she stopped to peer between the thin gray curtains covering the front window. I barely concealed a gasp as I looked around the living room. The couches had been shoved away from the walls, and the cushions ripped up and piled on the floor. An entertainment center had been ransacked. The contents of each drawer were dumped in a jumbled heap on the floor. A bookshelf sitting at an angle in the corner had also been disturbed. Random books removed, lying open on the floor beside it. From the living room, I could see into the open kitchen and dining nook. The kitchen had received the same treatment as the living room, and I didn't have a doubt that the 2 bedrooms and the bathroom were in the same condition. It was a small house, but it was going to take hours, if not days, to get everything right again. And even when all the belongings were back in place, I had a feeling Jess would be straightening and adjusting things for weeks to come. It still wouldn't feel right. Jess tugged the curtains closed and swiveled around. She started to gesture toward the couch, but then, as if seeing it for the first time, realized there was no place to sit, and she started to cry all over again. Nick jumped into action, grabbing cushions and putting them back in order as best as he could. I went to Jess and wrapped an arm around her shoulders. She sagged against me, and her sobs racked her entire body.
It's all right, Jess. We're here to help, and we'll figure out who did this.
She sucked in a few rapid breaths.
I already know.
You do? Nick said, whirling around, a large brown couch cushion clutched to his chest. Jess gave a miserable nod. I went to the entertainment center and picked up a small tissue box from the floor. I handed it to Jess, and she thanked me before grabbing a wad of tissues and pressing it to her eyes.
You know who broke in?
I glanced around, suddenly wondering how the perpetrator had gotten inside. The front door was solid and didn't look like it had been damaged. None of the windows on the front were broken. Jess had mentioned a back door. Maybe that was how he'd gotten inside.
It was Bobby, Katerina's ex-boyfriend.
Nick set the last cushion in place and motioned for us to each take a seat.
You're sure, Jess?
I took the spot beside Nick on the couch, so we could both face Jess as she perched on the edge of the recliner, her posture like a bird ready for flight.
Like I said on the phone, there's something you don't know that might be part of the reason why Katerina... Well, why she's no longer here.
I wanted to glance at Nick and see his reaction, but I kept my eyes fixed on Jess. She mashed the makeup-covered tissues between her hands.
Are you saying that you know for sure that Bobby is the one who killed her?
Jess had already made her opinion clear when we'd questioned her at the tavern, but now it was more than a suspicion. Another crime had been committed, and she was convinced it pointed back to the same man.
This is going to sound awful.
Nick held up his hands, palms facing her.
No judgments from us, Jess.
Jess nodded.
Thank you. This is really hard to say. But Katerina and I weren't just working the bar at Lou's. We had a side job, so to speak.
I braced myself, not knowing where the rest of her confession was heading.
Okay,
Nick prompted, lowering his hands. Jess adjusted her position, getting more comfortable, though she still looked on edge.
Sometimes the patrons at Lou's get out of control. Lou never cuts people off. He says as long as they're paying, he's pouring. Anyways, we don't do it to regulars, but since we're close to the highway, we get a decent flow of tourists and out-of-towners. Katerina and I take turns walking people outside and putting them into cabs when they're too far gone to drive. But, and this is the bad part, sometimes we take things from them.
What do you mean? I asked. She blew out a long exhale.
Cash, mostly, but sometimes a watch or necklace.
I bit the insides of my cheeks to keep from gasping. Once again, my view of Katerina the ghost was completely twisted into a new mold, to the person I'd learned she'd been in life.
Did Lou know you were doing this? Nick asked.
His question reminded me of the confidential conversation with Sully, the security guy. He'd known that Katerina and Jess were getting into trouble. I still wasn't sure if he knew what they were doing and hadn't reported it to us, or if he had simply picked up on a bad vibe and figured they were stealing from a more obvious place, the tavern's till.
No one knew. It was just Katerina and me. It all started about 6 months ago. We were done for the night, and Lou sent us out with this fancy businessman. He'd been hitting on both of us all night, and we were over it. When he was getting into his cab, his watch slipped off his wrist. It must have had a missing link or something. Anyway, we pawned it and split the cash. He came back about a week later asking about it, and we convinced him that he lost it in a pool game. He believed us. Nick folded his hands in his lap, and I mirrored his posture. I didn't want to offend Jess, but it was hard not to show my revulsion at their theft. So back up a minute. How does this relate to what happened here tonight? Or Bobby?
Jess sucked in a breath and nodded.
Right. Well, Katerina never told Bobby about the extra money. I don't know what she did with it, but she squirreled it away somewhere that he didn't know about or wouldn't think to look.
She paused, and a small smile quirked at her lips.
Probably the washing machine, or something to do with cleaning. That jerk would never think to look there. That's why he had Katerina.
I nibbled on my lower lip.
But you think he found out after all?
Nick asked, taking the reins of the conversation as I wrestled with my conflicted feelings about Katerina. Jess nodded.
Lou and his guys packed her stuff up at Bobby's the night she came to live with me. She never went back to get her stash. At least not that I know of.
What if Bobby found it and called her out? He would have been pissed that she was hiding all that money from him.
It's possible, Nick replied. But that doesn't explain why you think he broke in here.
Jess scoffed. He was probably looking for more. If he found out about our secret, he might have come here looking for more.
So you think it was Bobby? You didn't see the man leaving? Nick asked in a matter-of-fact way.
Jess shook her head.
I didn't see his face. But the man leaving was broad and tall, just like Bobby, and wearing a black t-shirt.
Nick noted the information in his cell phone. The silence was thick as I watched him type, not wanting to meet Jess's eyes. When he looked up, he offered Jess a smile.
I'll see what I can do with that information. Was there anything that Katerina would have had in her possession? Something that hadn't been sold yet? If I find it at Bobby's house, it could be a link to him.
Jess nodded.
She had 3 watches that we hadn't pawned yet. I was looking for a place to sell them online. They could still be at Bobby's. There were 2 gold ones and a silver one.
She paused and chewed her fingernails for a moment.
Oh, the silver one had initials engraved in the back. BDH. Does that help?
Nick tapped it into his notes as he nodded.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Jess smiled, obviously happy to have helped. When Nick finished, he shut off his phone and met Jess's eyes again. This time, his face stern.
You need to go and stay somewhere else tonight. Better yet, find a place to stay for a couple of weeks until we can get this thing solved. And it goes without saying that I won't tell the police what you told us in regard to the thefts. But I would advise you to stop.
Jess gave a solemn nod.
Understood.
I'll call Chief Lincoln and have him get a team out here to dust for prints and take your statement. After that, I suggest you pack a bag and call a friend.
Okay, Nick. I will. Thank you both.
Nick stood up and went into the other room to call in the break-in to the BHPD. Jess gave me a watery smile.
He's a really good guy, isn't he?
I nodded, a familiar fluttering shooting through my chest.
He really is.
Chapter 21. Chief Lincoln and 2 deputies arrived minutes after Nick's phone call and took over the scene. We waved to Jess on our way out, and when I stopped at the passenger side door of Nick's car, I spotted her pacing back and forth in front of the living room window, talking on the phone. Hopefully, she was calling someone who could offer her safe shelter until the person who had ransacked her house and potentially killed her best friend was behind bars.
You think she's going to be okay? I asked Nick, sliding into the passenger seat once he hit the unlock button.
Nick didn't answer at first. He was watching Jess pace. After a moment, he turned to face me and tried to smile as he replied,
I'm sure she will be.
I didn't believe him, and judging from how quickly he looked away to start the car, he knew it. I sighed as I relaxed back against the seat. The muscles between my shoulder blades were tense and knotted. The entire time we were speaking with Jess, I'd been on high alert, waiting for something to happen.
We have to figure this out, Nick.
I know. He went straight instead of taking a right at the intersection, and I shot him a puzzled glance.
What, you need a gallon of milk or something?
I asked, thinking of the all-night mini-mart down the way. Nick didn't even crack a smile.
I think we should go pay Bobby another visit.
I bolted upright in my seat as my mouth dropped open.
Are you crazy?
Nick didn't answer.
Nick? Seriously, we can't just go in there and ask if he broke into Jess's house. If he gets angry, neither of us could take him.
Well, at least not without access to my magic. If push came to shove, I'd blast him with some kind of stunning spell, rescue the both of us, and then plead with my SPA agent, Harvey Culpepper, to arrange for the memory to be scrubbed from Nick's mind. And that sounded like a lot of paperwork. I tugged on his arm.
Nick, we can't.
The police can't go search his place based on nothing but a hunch from his ex-girlfriend's friend. We, on the other hand, can go look around.
I folded my arms. There was no point in arguing with him. He had his mind made up. And if I knew anything about Nick Rivers, it was that he was just about as stubborn as me. And what exactly do you think you're going to find before he throws us out onto the driveway?
Nick sighed and took a hand from the wheel to rake through his unruly hair.
I don't know, Ollie. But he's the closest thing we have to a lead right now. We have to try.
I didn't object to his plan, at least not out loud. But I kept my arms crossed tightly in case he had any doubts about my feelings. Within a few minutes, we pulled up the long driveway to Bobby's house. The lights were on in the front room, and I wished they weren't. Maybe if Nick thought he was sleeping, he would turn around and we could go back to the safety of town.
Nick killed the engine and glanced over at me, the keys jangling in his hand. He was nervous, too.
You want to stay here?
I smiled.
And let you get your butt kicked all by yourself? Not a chance, Rivers.
He chuckled.
Good. I think if either of us has a chance of finding this guy's Achilles heel, it'll be you.
I'm not gonna bat my eyes at him if that's what you're thinking.
We walked up the drive, and Nick knocked 3 times. Bobby pulled the door open and groaned.
You two again? Listen, like I told you the other night, I don't know what happened to Katerina. Now get off my front porch before I call the cops.
Nick plastered on a serene smile.
Oh, they're a little busy right now, investigating the break-in over at Jess's place. You did quite a number on the place.
What the heck are you talking about?
Bobby growled. I flicked a sideways glance at Nick, silently questioning his strategy. Did he not see the size of Bobby's fists? Nick pocketed his hands. Mr. Casual.
Yeah, Jess told us she saw you sneaking out the back door.
Bobby let out a colorful string of expletives, none of them flattering about Jess.
Hey, I'm willing to hear you out, Nick said, holding his hands up. You want to let us in?
Bobby frowned, but after a moment he stepped back and let Nick and me into the house. The place looked just as it had on our last visit. After taking a quick glance around the room, my gaze fell to Bobby's wrist. He was wearing an expensive-looking gold watch, similar to the one Jess had described for us, and I sucked in a sharp breath.
If you weren't the one she saw tonight, then why would she say it was you?
Nick asked before I could comment on the timepiece. Bobby turned to make his way to the couch, and I took the opportunity to nudge Nick and direct his gaze to the watch. He nodded just as Bobby spun back around and flopped onto the couch.
Because she's got a beef with me. She thinks I mistreated Katerina.
Nick gave a sage nod.
Uh-huh. So she's trying to set you up for a robbery.
Bobby gave a hollow laugh and heaved his broad shoulders.
Seems like it.
Nick sat on the edge of the couch, and I followed his lead, putting a few inches between us. He leaned forward, and as his elbows went to rest on his knees, he steepled his hands together and considered Bobby.
Who do you think would break into Jess's house? I don't know, and I don't care. Where'd you get the watch?
Nick asked, looking at Bobby's wrist. Bobby glanced down at his arm as though he'd forgotten he had it on. He set his jaw and unclasped it. Once freed from his wrist, he unceremoniously tossed it onto the coffee table.
It was a gift.
From whom? I asked, trying to keep my voice light and conversational. Bobby was already on edge. Bobby frowned.
From Katerina.
Nick's eyebrows shot up.
Looks nice. She must have done pretty well at that bar she worked at.
I guess.
There was no way of knowing if it was one of the stolen ones that Jess had mentioned, but it also seemed a little too coincidental to not be.
When did she give it to you?
Nick pressed. Bobby let out a long, impatient sigh.
Listen, I think we're done here. I didn't break into Jess's place, just like I didn't kill Katerina, all right? I've been here all night minding my own business. It's my one day off from working on the property, and I tend to catch up on sleep and unload my DVR. I wasn't out terrorizing Jess, and I can't help you figure out who did, even if I cared enough to try. But you tell that girl she better watch who she's pointing fingers at.
Neither of us asked what would happen if Jess didn't heed his advice. Nick pushed up from the couch.
You were here all night, huh?
Bobby nodded, a hostile expression taking hold once again.
You want to go check the trash for the pizza box?
Nick shook his head.
No, but if you know the delivery man's name, we could check with him. If he was here at the time of the robbery, that would be a pretty good alibi.
Bobby's lip curled in on itself. He pushed off the couch, towering over us.
I don't need an alibi. You're not even a real cop. Now get out of my house before I go ahead and call the real cops and file a harassment charge against both of you.
I backed up to the door, nearly stumbling over the folded edge of the large area rug. I kicked it back into place, and then wondered why it was peeled back to begin with. Was there a compartment underneath one of the floorboards? I shook my head. Slow down there, Halls. Getting a little paranoid. Nick and I left the small house and hurried back to his car. The entire thing playing out like a scary case of deja vu. Bobby didn't watch us at the window this time, but the lights flickered off as we backed down the driveway.
Well, that didn't help, I said, as soon as we were back on the main road.
Not every interview is a gold mine, Holly. This is a marathon, not a sprint,
Nick replied, his tone even and cool, unruffled. A flare of pain radiated through the back of my head as a tension headache threatened to take hold. I was hungry, exhausted, and drained. I wasn't in a mood for a cool, adult, everything will be fine, Nick. I wanted him fired up and tenacious. I blew out a puff of air and started massaging my neck. Well, we need to pick up the pace before Jess gets hurt. Or worse. He didn't argue. Chapter 22. By some miracle, I had the next day off from work. Boots and I slept in until nearly 10 before I finally mustered the will to get up and start my day. I needed to go to Siren Song in order to deliver potions to a few customers who would be stopping by. Posey was tight with the SPA, and even though I knew she liked having me around the manor, she was also a by-the-book kind of ghost who wouldn't hesitate to tip them off to my side business if she knew the volume I was dealing in. As it was, she thought I simply made potions for friends as a favor. Adam had been asleep by the time Nick dropped me off the night before, and when I went into the kitchen to get breakfast, he wasn't anywhere in sight. I knew he was probably still annoyed that I'd bailed on our date again, and I vowed to make it up to him, as soon as Katerina's killer was found. After getting Boots his breakfast, I padded to the refrigerator and found a cup of yogurt. I grabbed a spoon and a bowl and went about throwing together a breakfast parfait with banana slices, granola, and a little chocolate drizzle on top. Just because. It was a nice little treat to boost an otherwise ordinary day. Or at least what I hoped would be an ordinary day. I could use one.
Good morning, Holly.
I craned a look over my shoulder and spotted Katerina just as she transitioned from a transparent shimmer to a silvery silhouette on the other side of the door. Morning, Katerina. She smiled slightly, but continued to stare at me. What? Is my hair that bad? I asked, reached up to tame my frazzled locks. Katerina shook her head.
No, you look great.
Great was a stretch. In reality, I'd just rolled out of bed, tossed on a robe, and pulled my hair back into a loose ponytail. I wasn't wearing a swipe of makeup, and likely had some rocking morning breath thanks to my past midnight dinner. Adam had been a little too liberal with the garlic in the spaghetti he'd left for me, and there were some things that an entire bottle of mouthwash couldn't quite erase. What's the plan for the day? Are Posey and Gwen going to take you out on the town? She shrugged, and then floated down to hover over one corner of the table that dominated the eat-in nook of the kitchen.
I don't know. I've been taking some time for myself.
She glanced up at me and added,
I mean, at least away from ghosts.
Oh? Is everything all right?
Not really.
I set down my spoon and abandoned my breakfast to join her. I leaned back against the counter. What's going on?
She dragged in a long sigh. Or whatever the ghost equivalent of sighing was, considering she didn't have lungs.
I don't want to be a ghost. I want to be alive again. This might work for people, ghosts, like Gwen and Posey. They seem to enjoy it. Gwen more than Posey, but Posey doesn't seem eager to change or move on, as she says.
Do you want to move on? I asked, tilting my head to one side. She dropped her eyes to her interlocked fingers as they rested in her lap.
I don't know. I'm scared to find out what's on the other side. But I don't want to be like this, either.
You know, Gwen and Posey have been ghosts a lot longer than you. I don't know what it's like, but I would imagine it's something that takes time to fully settle into. Katerina nodded, but didn't look all that convinced.
Maybe if I could remember my old life, I would feel differently. I could compare and see all the ways that my new life as a ghost is better.
My heart twisted into a knot in my chest, each beat aching a little more for the poor girl. I may not have approved of all of her life choices, but at the end of the day, I believe that she was a good girl who got caught up in a really terrible situation. She didn't deserve some kind of eternal turmoil over things she no longer had the power to change.
Holly?
She glanced up, her eyes large and hopeful.
Do you think you could help me remember? I know Gwen and Posey told you not to push me, but I want to remember. Please, tell me what you've found out about me. Everything.
I chewed on my lower lip, turning over her request. Katerina, are you sure? You could lose everything.
I already have,
she replied softly, looking back at her hands again. The knot in my chest unraveled with a snap, as my heart broke for the girl. I have an idea. Around 1 o'clock, I'm going to the coffee shop where I work. I have the day off, but I make potions on the side and need to drop some off for a client. She's a telepath, which means she can read other people's thoughts and feelings. She might be able to help you get your memories back. Katerina smiled bright enough that her eyes shone.
Really? That would be great.
Okay. Meet me out front at 1 o'clock and I'll take you with me.
Thank you, Holly. I knew you could help.
I held up a hand. We don't know for sure.
Right. Well, you're the only one willing to try. Posey and Gwen just keep telling me to wait it out like it's some kind of rainstorm or something.
I nodded, smiling slightly. They mean well.
I know. But right now, that advice is the last thing I want.
I understand. We'll see what we can do this afternoon. She clapped her hands, and then faded from the room. I watched the wall where she'd made her exit for a long moment, hoping that I could bring her some peace before the day was over. Later that afternoon, I had Katerina wait outside while I went in to say hello to Cassie and Kira. Cassie was cordial, but I could tell things were still a little tense between us, and I made a quick exit. I went outside to the patio and grabbed one of the few vacant tables while I waited for my customer, Lucy, to arrive. There were a lot of tourists out enjoying the view as they slurped down iced coffee drinks and munched on pastries and cookies under the afternoon sun. Lucy arrived right on time and came over to my table, smiling from ear to ear. We went through a little small talk and then did a sly exchange. The vial of potion for a small stack of gold coins. Haven currency.
Thank you so much, Holly. You have no idea how much of a lifesaver this stuff is,
Lucy said, pocketing the vial of permasmile draft.
This morning I overheard the monster-in-law thinking about Gordon's ex-girlfriend and wishing that he hadn't broken things off with her all those years ago. I mean, for goodness sake, Gordy and I have been married for 2 years now. When is she going to give up and accept me?
I flashed her a sympathetic smile. How much longer is she staying with you? Lucy rolled her eyes.
2 more months. Ugh. Then she'll blessedly be all the way across the country. Although with my luck, I'll still be able to hear her thoughts from her new place in Maine.
I laughed softly.
Well, hang in there. I'll have another batch ready for you next weekend.
Thanks, Holly. I wish I could block her out, but I've never quite mastered my ability.
She said it like it was more of a curse than a supernatural power. Which I supposed it was. At least when her mother-in-law was in town.
I've got Gordy mostly tuned out by now, but with new people, it's hard.
So can you read my thoughts right now? I asked, smiling at her. She studied me, a look of intense concentration growing on her face the longer she looked. After a minute, she shook her head and blinked a few times.
No, actually I can't. How are you doing that?
I laughed. I've been studying telepath spells lately. Thought I'd try it out. Lucy smiled.
Job well done. Why are you studying telepathy, if I might ask?
I leaned in a little closer over the small bistro table.
This might sound crazy, but I'm trying to find a way to read a ghost's mind.
A ghost?
Her lips quirked at the word, as though it were foreign to her. Lucy wasn't from the Haven system. She'd been adopted by humans when she was an infant and raised in the non-magic world. She was even married to a man who had no idea about her power. Her exposure to the supernatural world was quite limited, and I wondered if she might not have known that ghosts really existed. Although living in Beechwood Harbor for the last couple of years, she'd have been bound to see Gwen flying through town at a clip, spreading gossip like a pollinating honeybee in the spring.
It's a long story, but in a nutshell, I met a ghost on the beach about a week ago. Her name is Katerina, and she still hasn't remembered much about her mortal life. Normally, I would adhere to the conventional advice and let her remember things on her own, naturally. But Katerina was murdered.
Lucy gasped, quickly pressing her small hands to cover her mouth.
Oh, that's awful.
I nodded. The police located her body and are working to solve the case, but I'm afraid they're running low on leads. And now it looks like her friend might be in danger as well. Lucy's eyes pooled with tears.
How can I help?
I smiled softly at her eagerness.
Well, Katerina is actually here. I was hoping you might meet her and see if there is any way you can access her memories.
I can certainly try. Like I said, I'm not in complete control of my abilities, but with a little focus, I'll do my best to find something.
We got up from the table, and I led Lucy to the small fenced-off area at the far edge of the patio, where a small water feature babbled to cover the sound of the air conditioning unit that was hidden behind the fence. Katerina was pacing back and forth, her hands twisting and wringing together.
Katerina, this is Lucy, I said to her once she spun around again.
Katerina zoomed forward and stuck out her hand, an autopilot gesture that she realized a moment too late was completely pointless.
Right.
She frowned and linked her hands together again.
It's nice to meet you.
Lucy marveled for a moment, and I smiled.
Yep,
Katerina was definitely her first ghost encounter.
You too, Katerina. Holly thought that maybe I could try and access your memories from before you...
Lucy stopped herself, her cheeks turning a brilliant shade of pink.
I'm sorry. That was insensitive of me.
Don't worry about it,
Katerina said, dismissing the matter with a wave of her hand.
Before I died.
Yes,
Lucy replied, her cheeks still blushing wildly.
Would it be okay for me to try?
Please do.
I stepped back and let Lucy have some space to work. She met Katerina's eyes and stared, just as she had tried with me minutes before. Time suspended, my heart not beating and my lungs not sucking in a breath as I waited. Katerina's eyes slowly closed, and my heart hammered back to life. Was it working? Had they connected? Lucy's eyes were also closed. It must have worked. I forced myself to squelch a victory whoop. The minutes ticked on. Neither Lucy nor Katerina moved or blinked. I was beginning to get nervous that something had gone wrong, when all at once, Lucy gasped, her expression wide and open, like a drowning victim finally getting a breath of air. She sputtered for a few moments, and Katerina snapped out of her trance as well, except with less drama. For her, it was more akin to waking up from a nap. She blinked rapidly a few times, clearing the fog, and then locked onto Lucy.
You could see it too?
Lucy nodded, her green eyes going darker.
I did. Can you remember anything?
Katerina closed her eyes once more. A smile spread over her lips.
I can see my mother. She's teaching me how to use my little toy oven. I made a little cake. It's burnt, but she helped me frost it anyway.
Tears welled in my own eyes, thinking of my own mother and how she would have done the same for me. I quickly stored the memory away, not wanting to get sucked into my own reminiscing. For the moment, Katerina's memories were more important.
I can see Paisley and me skiing on Mount Bachelor. It was our first trip away from home together. We thought we were so grown up, being able to rent our own hotel room and order room service and movies.
She paused, smiling at the memory.
We met two college boys on the slopes, and they invited us to a party.
Katerina continued for a while, pulling out random memories at various stages of her life. They all tumbled out, seemingly in no particular order. Some of the memories made her smile. But as she went on, deeper, I supposed, the smile started to fade. And the memories she pulled to the surface became darker.
I remember my grandmother's funeral. Everyone in black, gathered at the gravesite. I picked up a handful of dirt and tossed it into the ground. My mother didn't leave the house for a month after that.
Lucy and I exchanged a forlorn glance. I wanted to speak, to pull Katerina away from the painful spots in her past, but I knew I couldn't. She had to remember everything. It was what she had asked for. Besides that, I still needed her to access the memories about Bobby, which I had a feeling were going to rise up soon. I had little doubt they would be counted among the darker moments in her past. Katerina's face twisted. Lines gathered at the edges of her eyes as she squeezed them shut even tighter.
There's a man. He's tall, broad shoulders, dark hair. He's yelling at me, and I can't make him stop. I'm afraid.
I drew in a silent breath. This was it.
Wait, he's gone. I got away.
Panic welled up inside of me, but I didn't dare speak. All I could do was wait. I threw a desperate look at Lucy, then she closed her eyes. Katerina stopped speaking, and I wondered if she was listening to something Lucy was telling her mind, if that was even possible. After another long pause, Katerina continued.
I can see the ocean. It goes on for miles and miles. The trees are tall, and I can see the sun through the branches. It feels like magic.
Katerina smiled once again, but it slipped just as quickly.
It's going to be dark soon. I told him it was too late to go hiking. He won't turn back for the car. We argue and...
Katerina's eyes popped open, glossy and bright. She shifted them to me and whispered,
Holly, he pushed me off the cliff. I saw the man who killed me.
Chapter 23. I didn't want to risk anyone overhearing our conversation, so we raced back to the manor where we could be sure that no one was listening. We gathered in a circle in the backyard, near my greenhouse. Once I knew it was safe to speak, the questions rushed out rapid fire. You saw him? What did he look like? Was it Bobby? Katerina closed her eyes again, but she shook her head.
He's walking ahead of me. I can't see his face. But he's tall. The same one that was yelling at me. The one that I escaped from.
It had to be Bobby. I trembled, thinking back to the two occasions that Nick and I had visited him, alone, out on an isolated piece of property. Anything could have happened. Lucy, did you see his face? Lucy shook her head.
No, it was weird. I could more feel her memories than see them. My heart sank.
What was that part at the end? How did you guide her back to the right track?
I don't really know how I did it. I just prodded at her subconscious. It was like we were connected, and her mind could see mine.
Mind melding, I breathed. It was just like what Grandmother Honeysuckle had told me about. Katerina was wringing her hands again.
Does this mean you can catch him?
The man who killed me? I gave her a solemn nod. Katerina, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but it looks like your friend Jess was right. Your ex-boyfriend Bobby was responsible for your death. Do you remember breaking up with him? Katerina opened her mouth, but stopped short of saying anything. Then, with a start, silvery tears streaked down her cheeks. I'd never seen a ghost cry before, and the sight ripped on my heartstrings.
I left him because he fought with Lou, the owner of the bar where I worked. Lou tried to get me to take out a restraining order, but I wouldn't. I couldn't. I was so weak.
No. No, no, Katerina. You were strong. She shifted her glossy eyes to mine.
I couldn't let him go. And what happened? He pushed me off a cliff and made me into this.
Her voice cracked as she gestured down at herself.
I'm a monster now.
Lucy gave her a wistful smile.
Honey, let me tell you, I have a real monster living with me right now, and you're not even close.
I smiled sadly at Lucy, silently thankful for her attempt at levity.
Katerina, you're not a monster. You just...
Before I could finish my sentence, she disappeared from sight. I spun around, scanning the yard for any trace of her.
What the...
Is that normal? Lucy asked. No, not at all. Normally they shimmer and then disappear. I've never seen Posey or Gwen or any of the other ghosts I've met just vanish.
Oh.
Lucy followed my gaze.
You don't think I damaged her, do you?
I brushed my hand along Lucy's shoulder. No, believe me. You gave her the best gift. She might just need a little time to process everything. Lucy nodded, but she didn't look completely convinced.
Well, I'd better get back home before the monster-in-law calls up Gordy's ex to come by for a picnic or something.
She rolled her eyes.
Thanks for the potion, Holly. I'll see you next weekend.
Sure thing. And Lucy, thanks for helping with Katerina. You helped more than you know. She nodded, and then made her way back to the stone pavers that led to the front of the manor. Katerina! Are you there? I called out. Nothing. I sighed and hoped that wherever she had gone, she was okay and would come back soon. I decided to get some work done in the greenhouse while I waited. There was still a handful of daylight hours left, and with all the craziness at work, my garden had fallen low on my priority list. I gathered boots and went to work. Seemingly, in the blink of an eye, the sun was on its way down, and it was almost dinner time. I left the greenhouse covered in dust, sweat, and soil, but I also wore the satisfied smile gleaned from a hard day's work. I paused in the side yard and glanced up at the side of the house to see Adam's bedroom window illuminated with the two lamps that sat on either end of his desk. He'd been working on a project most of the day, but I figured he would come downstairs to eat soon. If there was one thing I could count on in this crazy world, it was Adam's appetite. There was still no sign that Katerina had returned, unless she was already inside, so I started for the back door. When I reached for the knob, a soft buzz stopped me. I fished my cell phone out of my pocket and glanced at the screen. It was Nick.
Hello?
Holly. I'm on my way to Bobby Price's house. He just called and was in the middle of leaving a voicemail.
He saw someone following him. He thought it was me. He was screaming and cursing up a storm, and then there was a second voice. I think someone got to him.
Got to him? What do you mean?
Attacked him. It sounded like a fight.
Did you call the police?
Of course, he replied, sounding a little put out by the question. Chief Lincoln's on his way, too.
I don't understand, I murmured, mostly to myself. It doesn't line up.
Line up? Holly, what are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm on my way.
I cut off the call before Nick could ask me any more questions.
Only a few hours before, Katerina had all but named Bobby as the one who had shoved her off that cliff. So why would someone be following Bobby?
Maybe someone had found out that he was the killer and wanted to personally take their revenge.
But who? Would Lou be angry enough? What if it was Jess? She wouldn't stand a chance against Bobby. I tugged the larkspur out from under my shirt.
Dilly's Mini Mart, I said in a low monotone. I pressed my eyes shut, and when they fluttered open again, I was standing in the parking lot beside Dilly's Mini Mart. Thankfully, the spell had worked, and I'd landed safely out of sight behind the building, where the dingy bathrooms were located. The facilities were known for their abysmal condition, and were rarely used, and tonight was no exception. No one had seen me appear out of thin air. Thank the stars. Before I could think twice, I took off at a dead run, heading for Bobby's house. The mini-mart was the closest landmark I knew of, but it was a good half mile to Bobby's. I hadn't been out for a jog in a good 6 months. Added to that, I'd been dating Adam for a month and, as a result, had picked up some of his less-than-ideal eating habits. As I huffed my way up the road, I vowed to never eat another cinnamon roll or bear claw.
Yeah, right, Halls, I panted to myself.
It was almost completely dark outside, but I found the driveway and hurried up the gravel, spotting taillights up ahead. Nick. The sound of sirens filled the air behind me, and I knew Chief Lincoln would arrive soon. I could only hope that whoever had attacked Bobby hadn't stuck around long enough to get Nick, too. My heart hammered even harder at the thought. Nick's car was parked, but the driver's door was ajar. There was no sign of him. I sprinted the last stretch and leapt up to the front porch. The door was open a crack, and I couldn't hear anything. Magic pulled in my hand, ready to fire if needed. I pushed the door open and stepped inside, keeping my footsteps quick and quiet. No one was in the front room. Nick, I hissed.
Holly.
I exhaled a sigh of relief at the strength of his voice. He didn't sound hurt. I skidded around the corner into the kitchen, and my hand flew to my mouth. Nick was kneeling on the ground, a gun pointed at his head. In front of him, sprawled on the laminate floor, was Bobby Price's lifeless body. Nick!
You have one job, Miss Bolt,
a smooth, commanding voice said, drawing my attention to the man positioned behind Nick. Sullivan Pope.
What did you do to him? I asked, kneeling down beside Bobby.
I found a thin but steady pulse at the side of his neck.
He's alive, Nick grunted, and I jerked up to look at him once more.
Sully was holding Nick's hair with his free hand, and had tugged his head back so far that I feared his neck would snap. I glared at Sully.
What do you want? I demanded, pushing back up to my feet.
You're going to go out onto the front porch and tell the officers that the emergency call was a mistake. Tell them that everything is fine. Make them go away.
I folded my arms, biting back the urge to blast the bodyguard into a million tiny pieces. I wasn't sure I could actually harm someone with my magic. I'd never tried. But at that moment, I was fairly convinced I could find the strength. Nick squirmed, and Sully yanked on his hair again. Nick grimaced, and magic sparked against my arm as I kept my hand clamped down.
First, you let him go.
Sully stared at me for a long beat, as though gauging whether I was serious or not. then let out a long, hollow laugh.
Not a chance, Red. Now do as I ask and we can all walk away from this.
Why are you here? Why did you attack Bobby? A quick glance at his prone body revealed that he was still out cold. It must have been quite the battle of the giants. Was this because he killed Katarina? I ventured. Nick's eyes went wide. Sully's eyes flashed.
He didn't kill her.
Oh? And you know this how? He laughed again. The sound cold as it clawed up my spine.
Because I killed her.
All at once, the pieces clicked into place. The man in Katarina's choppy memories hadn't been Bobby after all. All she'd said was that he was tall, broad, and that he was the same man she'd argued with before. But why?
Like I told you, she and Jess were up to no good. I figured out what they were doing. Their last haul? Those watches? Well, those two idiots didn't even know what they had. They wanted to sell them on some virtual pawn shop. I overheard them talking about it. So I went to Katarina, she was the more pliable of the two, and told her that I knew where we could sell them and get 5 times what they could even dream of. She told me that she'd have to ask Jess, but I told her to keep it a secret. Thought we'd surprise Jess when we had the cash. I even had her convinced that I was into her. She was fresh off her breakup with this loser.
He paused and gestured down at Bobby. He momentarily released Nick's hair, but kept the gun pressed against his temple.
I told her we could run away together, go on an exotic vacation. She ate it up.
He laughed, and the magic started to burn against my arm. I swallowed hard, trying to force myself to relax, but I couldn't, especially as the sirens in the background grew louder. I knew my window of time to keep Sully talking was closing. So why kill her, if she was such an easy target? I countered.
She said she wanted to go hiking, so I offered to go with her. I told her it was a date. She was supposed to bring the 3 watches with her, but when she showed up, she didn't have them. She didn't want to back out on the deal with Jess. And to make matters worse, she apparently gave the 3rd one, the most valuable one, to this idiot.
He paused to thrust his chin at Bobby.
She told me we could just sell the next score they got. We argued, and I went to grab her shoulders to shake some sense into her. She still didn't get it. Just one of those watches would have gone for $500,000. Why someone of that caliber ever stumbled into a dive like Lou's, I'll never know. But whoever he was, his watch was my ticket out of this dump. I was going to retire to Costa Rica and live on the beach for the rest of my life. Nothing but white sand, palm trees, and sunshine.
A fitting reward for such a stand-up fellow, I muttered. Sully scowled at my tart comment and dug his hand back into Nick's hair, once again forcing his head back.
Story time's over, Red. Go get rid of those cops, or your friend here is going to hit the ground before they can get to him. And this time I won't just use a sleeper hold.
Chills crept over my arms. I had seconds to make a decision. Did I risk revealing my magic to Nick and Sully in order to save his life? Or was there another way? Maybe I could go out to Chief Lincoln and tip him off. Humans had SWAT teams and special ops. Surely someone could save Nick before it was too late. I met Nick's eyes. He was terrified, stunned into silence. He shifted his eyes to the side, flicking them at the kitchen door. He was telling me to run, to leave him. I shook my head. No.
No?
Sully hissed. I met his gaze. No. I'm not going to let you hurt Nick, and I'm not going to let you get away with killing Katarina.
Oh, really? And how are you going to stop me?
Like this. In the blink of an eye, I whipped a hand out, snagged a plate from the counter and sent it flying, like a magically charged ceramic frisbee.